I was driving down Interstate 81 south from Syracuse, New York. I just dropped off my wife and kids. I was driving, and there was a snowstorm, and I was just driving along, and my car turned sideways going down the highway. It didn't even slow down. It just started going sideways. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. So we are reading in Galatians chapter 3, and the book of Galatians is, Paul is leveling a defense against those that have come against him and his teachings. Paul has always taught that that salvation is by grace alone through faith, by grace alone through faith, that it's not by works. And as it says, as he had written in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not a result of works that no one may boast. And Judaizers, that's what these people were called in the Bible, they would come and they would say that Paul needs to require people to observe the law of Moses in order to get saved. So remember we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, they said you have to be circumcised to be saved. And then later on in that chapter, just a few lines down, it says, and observe all the law of Moses, the 613 commandments. And Paul was like, no, you don't have to obey any of those to get saved. Salvation is by grace, faith and grace. Now he's speaking to the Galatians themselves. So the first two chapters, it's like he's taking on those who had been accusing him of this. Now he's speaking to the Galatians because he had led many of these people to the Lord. This was his teaching. And now he feels that they're reverting, they're going back, and they want to go back under the Jewish law. They never came in under the law. These were primarily Gentiles, and now he's saying you got to go back under the law. They're thinking you got to go back under the law. So he is freeing them from this. And so let's read chapter 3 again. We'll overlap a little bit because we're going to focus on verse 6 today. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain? Or did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does not he who provides you with the Spirit and who works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. So he provides a way of faith, a way of blessing, and this comes through faith. If we learn to have faith, there is an amazing blessing of God. I want you to think about this, that if you have faith, there's a tremendous avenue for God to bring blessing upon your life. Think about that. If I have faith, God blesses my life all the more. There are just standard blessings that all human beings get. We get air to breathe, we get eyes to see, we get minds to think. But then there are blessings that come when we become believers, where we enter the family. But then there are other blessings that come by having faith. And here he says in verse 6, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You know, and if you read about Abraham, he seems to be a pretty calm guy. And Abraham, in the book of Genesis, is where we're introduced to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to him, and God appears to him the first time in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The very verse we just read, Paul cited it in the book of Galatians. He's citing this verse, Genesis 12, 3. This is a blessing that was given to Abraham. So in the verse 4, so Abram went forth, and the Lord spoke to him. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So that was the first appearance where God spoke to Abram. Then the next one is in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So now the Lord appeared to him and he made him a promise. I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And then again the Lord appeared to him. In chapter 13, verse 14 of Genesis, it says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, this is Genesis 13, 14, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your descendants forever. The other promise was just to his descendants. Now he gives him this promise, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants as well as you. You're going to be a recipient of this. And then he says, verse 15, for the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land throughout its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. And this was the third appearance. And then there's this fourth appearance in chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, reading from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? This is the first time that Abram is having a dialogue with God. The first three times there was no dialogue. God spoke. Abram wasn't speaking back to him. But now the relationship is getting deeper. Abram speaks back to the Lord and he says, you know, you keep telling me about this descendant. He says, I don't have any children. My wife is barren. And so this top servant in my house, Eleazar, he's the one who's going to be my heir. Verse 4, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. He believed the Lord, he reckoned it to him as righteousness. This is the verse that Paul quotes in the book of Galatians. He's quoting this verse from the book of Genesis. We have the same documents. We have the same Old Testament that Paul was using. And we know that because we have the Dead Sea Scrolls. We have the from that era. We have the Septuagint from that era. Using the same book. The same thing. This is what he's quoting from. So look at this. Verse 5, and he took him outside. God took Abram outside. How did he do that? Did he carry him? Did he take him by the hand? What do you mean he took him out? We're not told. But you see the intimacy here. God took Abram outside. He took him outside. He didn't just say, you, out. No, he took him. He took him outside. There's a relationship. He took him outside and he said, now look toward the heavens. And in fact, this took him outside. It's almost as if he's saying, please look toward the heaven. There's this word na in Hebrew, but he says, it's almost like please do this. It's so friendly. He says, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. Now, if you've ever been out camping in a place where there's no lights around, gazillion stars. That's what it was like. It took, count the stars, if you can. I mean, how do you count the stars? And that's why astronomers take a picture and they would circle them. You know, now they have the computers that count the dots, but you couldn't. And so, you know, it's this little bit of needling. Go ahead, count them if you can. And he said, if you're able to count them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. All of a sudden, there's this belief in the Lord and there's this quiet confidence. When the word of God speaks, you begin to believe it. Let me tell you a story about a man that I knew. He had great faith. So I was at a Christian convocation, which means a Christian gathering. And there was this man who was an Indian. He was from the Indian region of the Himalayas. And he came to this conference. He wasn't one of the speakers. He was just one of the attendees. And he was a pastor in these mountains, in the Himalaya mountains. These are tough guys. That's a tough environment to live in. And we gathered early before the service to pray. People would come and those who wanted to could gather early to pray. So I was there, he was there, and a couple of other people. There were not many of us. And we were praying for the meeting that day, and it was raining. It was raining pretty hard. So this man prayed, and he was an older man. It was very hard for him to get on his knees. He just sat in the chair, and he said, Lord, there's rain all around. I pray you remove the rain so as the saints come from their room, they can come into this hall without getting wet. And I'm thinking, it's pouring out. This guy gets done with his prayer. The rain stops, and it just starts opening. There was black clouds all around, except over that. We were renting out a college campus, a small liberal arts college campus. The campus was dry, just dry. The rain just stopped, just like that. This guy had no doubt that God would do this. There was no doubt that God would do this in his mind. And boom, this amazing peace this man had. He just asked the Lord, and the Lord answered. I had seen something similar in my own life. Shireen and I, ever since we got married, in fact, before we got married, I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, we want to have international students to our home. I pray that we get an apartment, because I had put my name in for married student housing. I had not even looked at the married student housing. You get what apartment they give you. There was no selection process. And I prayed, Lord, that we get an apartment on the ground floor at the end of the building so that we could easily go outside in the back and that there would be some picnic tables out there so we could have people to our home. I had never seen it. I was just praying for this. We got assigned a house, an apartment at the end of the building with a whole park behind us full of picnic tables and a covering thing. And it was just amazing, called Squirrel Park. This is exactly what we got. I remember, and we used to have these international students over. We would invite them, and Shireen would cook this food, and we would just hand it out the window and set up the picnic tables. And one day, my pastor was going to bring in two van loads of international students. That he was a professor, and he had this program for international students, and he was going to bring them to our home for lunch. And it was raining, and we were setting things up, and I called the brothers and sisters together, and there were some other people among us who weren't even believers in Jesus. And I said, let's pray that God clears away these clouds. People are looking at me like, you got to be kidding me. And so got on my knees right there, and I prayed, Lord, move away the clouds so we can have our time together. Just like that, the clouds started to move away. Pastor drove up. He gets out of the van. He said, it is pouring everywhere except right here. We had the whole picnic, the whole time with this group. The sun was shining in right through this hole in the clouds. As soon as the picnic was ending, it started to drizzle. As soon as they got back in the car, the clouds just started pouring rain again. God answers prayer. There's a way of walking with faith, and you see that pattern. Jesus made many proclamations. On the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I want you to think about this now. Jesus stood on the last great day of the feast. Jesus stood. So Jesus is going to stand up and he's going to cry something out. He's going to proclaim something. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, there has to be some desire there. We have to long for this. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Lord, I want to increase my faith. Lord, I want this. I don't want to just be like a normal life. I want to have this faith-filled life. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, Jesus banked on the scriptures. He referred to the scriptures. You can bank on this thing. To Jesus, this was real. This was not just a bunch of old words to Jesus. Remember, there was no New Testament. He was using the Old Testament that had been finished writing 400 years before Jesus. And a lot of it had been written 1,800 years before Jesus. And to him, this is truth. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's what Jesus said. That was his proclamation. That's what he said. And Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what he said. Are we going to believe this thing? Then he said, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, we can have an exchange. Have you ever felt so overwhelmed? How am I going to get all of this done? How am I going to study for MCAT while I got all of these other classes? How am I going to do all of these things? I think I am the busiest person in the world right now. Nobody has more classes than I do. Nobody has more exams than I do. I am sure my professors got together and they just scheduled all the exams on the same week. It just happens to me all the time. Have you ever had that feeling? I thought I was the hardest working undergraduate. I mean, I just felt I was just piled on. Graduate school, I felt, was much easier than undergraduate.